The History of Touch by Lily J.K. It had all started with touch, and it was somehow fitting that it would end that way. Antarctica. It had started in Antarctica because John was never very good at following orders, and he'd never seen anything that looked like a hybrid between a dentist chair and some sort of throne before. Come on, what are the odds of me having the same genes as these guys? John sat down in the chair mainly to fuck with the Scottish guy. He was grinning, enjoying the shocked look on the other man's face. Then the chair lit up and started to move. He could feel it against his body, the touch of metal and energy and something indefinable. It was sort of a blur after that, his first glimpse of a crooked smile and wide blue eyes mixed in with a holographic light show. Then came the hard sell from Weir, something crazy about ancients and wormholes and what the hell was a Stargate anyway. Another speech from O'Neill about opportunities and adventure, and John was never quite sure when or how he agreed to go. Before he could breathe, he was trading McMurdo for Colorado and getting a peremptory ass-chewing from Colonel Sumner. Then he was watching a fresh-faced Marine fall backwards into that Stargate thingy with a grin and a whoop of delight, and John was following, taking his first steps through what looked a little bit like blue jello and ending up in another galaxy. Atlantis. The city loved him, responded to his touch like an eager lover, more lights and holograms and the coolest damn toys he'd ever seen. And hell, he fell a little in love the first time he laid hands on the puddle jumper control panel. More metal and energy, and it beat flying a helicopter any day. Then Sumner was dead, and the Wraith were awake, and John was just about ready for a one-way trip out of this fucked-up place. But somewhere along the way, in between a bug snacking on his neck and tangling with the Amish mafia, Atlanta started to feel a little more like home. He was needed here, and somehow he needed to be here. The city responded to his touch, damn near purred under his fingers. The problem was that late at night, in those hours between dark and dawn, John wasn't thinking about touching the city. Because it hadn't taken John long to learn that along with that crooked smile and blue eyes came a scary smart brain and a wicked wit and hands that moved with a strange sort of grace that was a language of its own. Rodney had moods that changed faster than the weather, a face that showed what was coming clearer than any radar. He was a mix of opposites, contradictions and consequences, and nothing that a career military man should spend time contemplating. But lying in bed with his hands anywhere but where he wanted them, John would think about Rodney, and Rodney's hands, and wonder. John would remember the way Rodney could look so lost one minute and like he knew the secrets of the universe the next. He would think about the curve of muscle along shoulders that seemed to stretch a mile, and the way Rodney's skin was so pale that the faint trace of veins shone through like a road map for John's tongue to follow. He would remember the way Rodney looked at him when he thought John wouldn't notice, like John was better than chocolate and coffee rolled into one. Then John would deliberately not touch himself, because this was his own private aversion therapy, and he'd given up men the day he put on a uniform. There were some risks he just couldn't take. And if he started spending a little too much time down in Rodney's lab, well, he could make up an excuse for that. He did have the strongest ancient gene, after all. Rodney might need John to touch something, and most days he did. And John would have that instant of contact, the brush of his fingers along Rodney's hand when he reached out to take whatever gadget or gizmo Rodney wanted him to activate. John imagined it left an invisible brand on his skin, the fleeting brush of fingers or overlapping of hands and wrist. It must have shown on his face sometimes, because Rodney would pause midway through whatever technobabble he was spewing like John had done something new and interesting. Rodney's head would sort of tilt to the side, and his cheeks would get pink, and it was like he knew what John was thinking, and he was running the numbers and calculating the odds and trying to make it fit. Then Zelenka would say something, or John's comm would click on, and the moment would be gone. By that time, John had imagined that the hand wrapped around his cock every night was Rodney's instead of his own so many times that a glimpse of Rodney's palm was enough to give him wood. He'd long since abandoned the it's okay to think about it as long as I don't touch myself while I do it rule, and the calluses on his hands weren't just from holding a gun anymore. So he'd think about touching Rodney, and he would touch himself. It was his own little reward for getting through another day without dying, and he figured as long as he confined it to fantasy, the risk was acceptable. Fantasy bled into reality one day in the control room, and after that, there was no going back. Even if he knew that it was Cadman he wanted to do the kissing, it was Rodney's body that did it. Those wonderfully expressive hands twisting into the fabric of Carson's lab coat and pulling him in for a kiss. And John couldn't look away from it, because he was close enough to see the way Rodney's lips moved over Carson's, close enough to hear the slick sound of lips meeting and parting. John had replayed that kiss in his head over and over, imagining he was the one on the receiving end. He'd lain in bed, fingertips brushing across his lips while his other hand worked his cock, and he'd rewritten the history of that kiss. Rodney's hands were grasping the fabric of John's jacket, hauling him forward until they were chest to chest, John's mouth opening underneath the onslaught of lips and tongue and to hell with anyone watching. The kiss had endless variations in John's head, and he replayed them all. After that, John couldn't resist touching Rodney. He did it at every opportunity and with no provocation. A pat on the arm, a squeeze of broad shoulder, leaning in too close but still not close enough. It earned him more of those looks from Rodney, the same way Rodney looked when John did higher math or anything to indicate he had an IQ that hit triple digits. The more Rodney looked at him, the more John touched him, upping the ante in his one-sided game of don't ask, don't tell, just touch. John collected the touches, the texture of Rodney's wrist when John brushed his thumb across the skin there, the way Rodney's hair was soft and fine, and finding that out was well worth the go-to-hell look Rodney gave him for the little head slap. John spliced and edited his collection of touch every night, adding the new bits and rearranging until it played out just like HDTV. Rodney with his hands and shoulders and unnerving blue eyes, touches and kisses and skin on skin until John didn't know if it was his imagination and what was a curse or a blessing. But after Aaliyah touched him and John's own body changed and transformed, it was the memory of touch and anticipation of more that kept him sane. Those long nights in the infirmary as he watched his own body reemerge, John thought about touch and how if Aaliyah's touch could transform him, Rodney's touch probably could too. John had lost count of the times he'd almost died, and as he waited for the damage from the retrovirus to reverse, John decided that maybe he'd fucked up somewhere in his risk analysis. When death came in the form of computer viruses and space vampires with a leather fetish, and the closest thing to sex he'd had in over a year was getting glowed on by an ancient, John started running the numbers again. The Hive. It was probably going to end with touch. His life sucked out of him in degrees, and he'd wasted too much time, hadn't acted on his decision to see if it was really worth the risk. On his knees, in front of the female wraith, John decided it was going to be his biggest regret, the wasted months when he could have really touched Rodney, when he could have let his hands and mouth roam over pale skin and hard cock and pressed his body into Rodney's until all that was left was flesh to flesh. The time when he could have touched and been touched instead of making do with stolen memories of someone else's kiss and the snatches of touch he'd taken under the guise of something else. As the wraith reached for him, nightmare hands that could leech away his life hovering inches from his face, John couldn't help but think that it all started with touch, and it was somehow fitting that it would end that way. The fact that he'd missed the most important touch somewhere along the way didn't change a goddamn thing.